الرحيم أما بعد الله سبحانه said ألا له الخلق والأمر the command the creation and the command belongs only to Allah سبحانه Allah سبحانه creates whatever He wills whatever He wills the command only belongs to Allah عز وجل also Allah سبحانه commands the angels to perform certain duties and tasks throughout the universe throughout the galaxies Allah subhanahu has sent down commandments for human beings to follow and live their life by. But here is where a person may ask a question, why does Allah subhanahu send down commandments for human beings? Why isn't faith in our Creator enough? Why are there do's and don'ts? Why are there injunctions? Why are there guidelines? Why are there rules and regulations? The answer to that is, because we have free will. And free will without regulation and guidance can lead to chaos. If we just look at the world today with guidelines, with guidance, we see an immense amount of chaos. Imagine if all guidance, all these commandments were erased, what kind of wildness would exist on the face of this earth? And so if we look into our daily lives, we will also find the answer. You can't work for a company or have an employment except that you will find at the workplace there are rules and regulations. There are rules for engagement. You can't join a school, a college, or a university except that they will have a code of conduct. They will have a dress code. You can't be part of any organized effort except that you will find rules and regulations. You can't even drive a car without traffic regulations. There are rules and regulations all around us. If you download an app, there are terms and conditions you must agree to before you're allowed to use that app. If it's a social media app, if you say something against their policies, you can be banned from it. If you look at entertainment, if you go to a stadium to watch sports, you're not allowed to live stream the game. If you do, you can be thrown out of the stadium. If you look at investments, you have the SEC putting forth regulations to make sure that the business model people create are valid and not fraudulent for the masses to invest in. So if we look, wherever we look, we find rules and regulations. Not only do we find rules and regulations and do's and don'ts wherever we look at in every daily operation that we are engaged with, we also find that people are willing to spend thousands and thousands of dollars to find out what these rules and regulations are, to be compliant, to learn about this guidance that will help them improve in their daily lives. So if you look at people who are willing to spend thousands of dollars on life coaches, why? Because life coaches tell you and guide you to what you should do and don't do in your life. You look at people who are willing to spend thousands of dollars with business consultants because they will tell those companies and businesses how they can scale, what are the things they should do and they shouldn't do, how can they stay on brand, what are things that if they do, they will be off brand and thus they should avoid those things. If you look at family counseling, people actually pay money to get counseling so that their family or the relationship between their spouses can be better. What are the things that they should avoid? What are the things they need to do to improve their relationship? If we look at people who spend thousands of dollars to have a legal team in their company, in their corporation, just to ensure that they are compliant, to make sure that their do's and don'ts are not in contradiction to any set law. Even when it comes to our health, we go and pay doctors to tell us what we should eat, what we shouldn't eat, what are the exercises we need to do. So the idea that we can only have faith in our Creator and that the do's and don'ts should not exist in our life, it's not something that is in accordance to what we see. If we're talking about the path to paradise, which is more important than any other regulation or do or don't that we find in this life, if we're talking about the path to paradise, then there must be commandments, there must be do's and don'ts, because this is what we observe when we look at and zoom out of this universe, zoom out of this world. We see that even in this universe, there are do's and don'ts. There are laws of physics. There are laws of thermodynamics. There are rules and regulations where this whole universe operates. So if this is the case with the universe, and if this is the case with our daily operations, that there are do's and don'ts, then it does not make sense to say that the path to paradise should not have commandments or prohibitions. Rather, that will be in contradiction to our observation of the universe. It will be in contradiction to our observation of reality. It will be in contradiction to our observation of how we engage in our daily lives with every single thing in our life. أقول قولي هذا أستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المؤمنين فإنه غفور رحيم الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده أما بعد. These do's and don'ts are actually the red lines that exist in Islam. And without these red lines, Islam cannot be called a guidance. It is the maintenance of these red lines throughout the centuries, the preservation of the Quran and Hadith, and this guidance with these red lines allows it to be called guidance. Otherwise, there's no difference. If anything is allowed, then there's no difference between guidance and misguidance. And the Quraysh, in the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they understood these red lines, and they wanted the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to compromise on these red lines. So they said, "Ati bi Qur'anin ghayri hadha aw badilhu." Bring us another Quran, or make some changes. To the point where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed and said, "Wa in kadu la yaftinunaka 'an alladhi awhayna ilayka litaftari 'alayna ghayra wa idhan lattakhadhuka khalila." Where Allah subhanahu said that they're plotting to try to lure you to compromise on these commandments. They're plotting to try to make you compromise and try to make you invent a lie on us. And if you did that, if you compromise these limits, these red lines that Allah has set forth, وَإِذَنْ لَتَّخَذُوكَ خَلِيلًا, then they will take you as a very close friend. So, Islam does not bend to the modern sensitivities. Islam does not bend to societal pressure. It does not bend to peer pressure. وَإِذَنْ لَتَّخَذُوكَ خَلِيلًا, if they said, "We will take you as a close friend," change your limits. Change what Allah has commanded. Change what Allah has prohibited. Islam throughout time has not bent, nor as will it bend as Allah subhanahu has promised to preserve this deen of Allah subhanahu. My dear brothers and sisters, it is with these limits, it is with these red lines, it is with these boundaries that Allah has set that Islam makes us kings. As the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ala wa inna li kulli malakin hima." Where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, every king has boundaries. Every king has a domain that no one can reach or touch. And so Islam makes us royal with these boundaries, with these commands and prohibitions. It raises our status because with these commands and with these prohibitions, we have a definition of life. And so Allah subhanahu explains these commands and prohibitions in the Quran, where Allah subhanahu said, "Kitabun uhkimat ayatu," that this is a book where its verses have been made perfect. Thumma fussilat, and then explained. Allah subhanahu said fussilat for the word explained. He didn't say fussirat. He didn't say buyinat. He didn't say surrifat. All those words also mean explained. But Allah subhanahu chose a specific word in this verse to mean explain, to use for the word explain, fussilat, because fussilat comes from the word fasal. And fasal means a barrier between two things, and a barrier sets limits. So Allah subhanahu is telling us that this book is explained with the limits built into it, explained with boundaries. And then Allah subhanahu said, "Min ladun hakimin khabir." Explained by who? Explained by Hakim, the one who has hikmah, the one who has wisdom. But if you were to think about explanation, if the Quran is going to be explained, you would expect that Allah subhanahu would say, مِن لَدُنْ عَلِيمٍ خَبِيرٍ, that it will be explained by the one who is alim, the one who is the most knowledgeable, because explanation requires knowledge. But Allah subhanahu doesn't use his name alim. He says, مِن لَدُنْ حَكِيمٍ خَبِيرٍ. The word hakim comes from the Arabic word hakama. Hakama means a bridle that you put on a horse with its reins. And the bridle with its reins is used to limit the horse from going to the wrong direction, to restrain the horse, and to steer the horse, and to guide the horse into the right direction. So in this verse, when Allah's talking about the boundaries and the limits, Allah subhanahu doesn't use alim, but he uses the word hakim, because hakim comes from hikmah, which comes from the bridle of the horse, which sets limits for the human being. And thus the definition of hikmah or wisdom, as the scholars have defined, is وَضْعُ الشَّيْءِ فِي مَوْضِعِهِ, is to put a thing in its proper place. So these limits are defined and explained by Allah subhanahu, meaning every single boundary, every single commandment, every single prohibition, Allah subhanahu has put them in their exact right place. No one can say that a law of Allah or a commandment of Allah is outdated. No one can say that these commandments are from the 7th century and so they're not applicable today. Every single commandment that Allah has placed is in its proper position and place. My dear brothers and sisters, without limits, without boundaries, without prohibitions and commands, the meaning, we have no meaning of life anymore. Life has no meaning without limits. And if we take an example of our economy, our struggling economy today, we know that we have a debt ceiling limit. But that debt ceiling limit is constantly being compromised and raised. It's raised again and again and again, to the point that that debt ceiling limit has no meaning anymore. Because once you raise a limit over and over again, the word limit has no meaning. And this is one of the reasons where our economy today is struggling and needs help. Furthermore, we have a meaningless life without boundaries, without commands, without prohibitions, without red lines, without these limits. Because without limits, the law of non-contradiction is compromised. It is only with limits that things are defined. We get definitions by using limits. What something is and what something is not. That is defined through limits. And if we remove limits and say everything goes, everything is okay, then we start to compromise the law of non-contradiction, where then we have trouble even defining ourselves, who we are. So today, our society is struggling with the question of what is a woman? What is the definition of a woman? What are the limits of a man and a woman? We can think that we are probably one of the most advanced societies in history, but for centuries, this has never been a problem, the definition of what is a woman. And all of a sudden today, this question of what is a woman is somehow very complicated for people to answer. And so since Allah subhanahu said that this Quran is fussilat, has limits built into it, it has definitions built into it, we go to Allah subhanahu for guidance on this question: what is a woman? What defines a woman? And Allah subhanahu jalla wa'ala said, مَا جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لِرَجُلٍ مِّن قَلْبَيْنِ فِي جَوْفِهِ. He answers it by saying that Allah subhanahu has not made for a male any two hearts in his interior. So here Allah subhanahu is talking about a male never having two hearts in his interior. When is it the case where a human being carries two hearts? The only time a person carries two hearts is when the person is a female and a mother who carries a child. And that child, and look, Allah subhanahu didn't say in the chest, he said in the interior of that person's body. So when a mother is pregnant, when a female is pregnant, she has her heart. And she also carries the heart of her child. That never exists for a male. This is a clear definition. As far as defining a male or female with certain biological organs, today a person can go and get a 4-hour surgery and get all of that fixed and changed. So the definition, the limit that Allah subhanahu has defined in the Quran supersedes all that. And notice Allah subhanahu said, مَا جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لِرَجُلٍ مِّن قَلْبَيْنِ. He didn't say, مَا جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لِرَجُلٍ قَلْبَيْنِ. That he didn't say Allah did not make for a male two hearts, Because that's obvious. No male is born with two hearts. But Allah said, min qalbayni, meaning that Allah subhanahu has not made for any male any two hearts, meaning not his own two hearts, because no one's born with two hearts, but any two hearts, meaning he doesn't have his own heart or he doesn't carry anyone else's heart in his interior. And that's the definition of a male, which differentiates from a female. So my dear brothers and sisters, let us celebrate the commands and prohibitions, the red lines, the limits that we have in Islam, because the only way we can enjoy freedom is through these limits. And without these limits, we defy reality. We fall into chaos. We don't even know what a man or a woman is anymore. I ask Allah subhanahu jalla wa ala to make us able to follow these commands and prohibitions that He has revealed for our freedom, for our enjoyment, for our benefit, for our guidance to the path of paradise. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وأقيموا الصلاة.